The black helicopter crowd notion.
The tyranny is always lurking just around the corner. The Americans are thinking crazy, but now they're right.
Black helicopter crowd really is upset.
The people are stupid and they're drunk. There'll be a revolution and they're going to lose. There are too many guns and too many people ready to fight them. I am a man of peace, but we have gangsters running this country. Criminals, gangsters.
We're normal. We see total criminal takeover, the death of freedom.
It is the most corrupt, degenerate criminal government in American history. I'm trying to awaken people, but look at the morons around you. They're zombies.
You're listening to Black Helicopter News on the Armageddon Records Network. And now here's your host.
Hello and welcome to Black Helicopter News, episode 69. Today we're joined by Andy Highroller, who returns to the show. We discuss censorship, all that and much more coming up next. But first, before we get into that, I just want to encourage everyone to like us on Facebook and subscribe to the podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and TuneIn Radio and share this transmission. We have to wake people up to the grand deception. Alright, sorry about the delay in episodes. I've been super busy, but I'm back on my grind. I have two other episodes lined up all ready to go. Yesterday, I recorded one with Rich Rock from episodes 2 and 3. We discuss radical leftists. That'll be episode 71. And episode 70. Last weekend, I interviewed an interesting individual who claims to have been abducted by aliens and used her to create alien hybrids. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Black Helicopter News, your trusted news source in the alternative media. Here's what's in the news.
Yeah, I was also 4 a.m. driving drunk people around. Because apparently what I do now, I'm on the other side of the spectrum. Coin has been flipped.
Yeah. I'm hearing good things about Uber. Is the pay good?
So far, it seems like when you're actually driving people, it's about $1 a mile. Seems like it's what it comes to. It's not bad.
Okay. I like the work your own hours kind of aspect of it.
Yeah, it depends on what your like proclivities are, though, because the best money is to be made while the bars are open, and then you're kind of like done at 3 in the morning and all the bars are closed, and that's a nuisance, you know?
Yeah. So, dude, your comedy show last week, I liked what you did, but you got a dark humor there. Did you do any 9/11 jokes before I got there?
I did no 9/11 jokes. I don't really have any 9/11 jokes left at this point. I used to do something about how the story that was told was so unreal that Bruce Willis wouldn't take the script. You know, it would have to be like a Jason Statham movie or something like that, because, you know, Bruce Willis still has a reputation. No, I didn't really touch on anything super dark. That was just, or at least, you know, socially dark. That was just kind of a bunch of stories from my life the other night.
Did I hear a joke?
There was. I'm not going to repeat it because it's not bad. But it would be unpopular for a lot of people.
So speaking of unpopular speech, let's talk about censorship. Look, I feel personally that censorship reflects an insecure society.
Well, I think that the argument gets confused a lot, because we're talking about a lot of people confuse like severely disliking something and censorship. I mean, censorship involves like an agency or a industry saying that you can't say something, and it's not the same as like free speech. You're still entitled to free speech, but censorship is, you know, you have to draw a line, and there's definitely some confusion and gray area in there. I mean, there's a difference between shits and fucks and something that can be construed as like hate speech or derogatory comments. If you want to say fuck or whatever else, you know, that's fine, that's one thing. But when it comes to like some sort of racial slur or gender-specific slur, I don't know. I'm starting to, at least in comedy, right? If you need to rely on saying faggot or need to rely on saying retard, if you consider yourself a comedian but those are still things that you need to say, then you're probably not a good comedian, because you don't need those words to be funny. Those words, there's this thing that happens where new comics don't know how to be funny, but they know how to say funny words. You know, like certain phrases strewn together will make people laugh, but they're not jokes, you know? You know, so like limp dick, saggy balls, like to make a lot of people laugh, they don't even need to be attached to something slightly intellectual. You know, people just giggle at that. So, and I think faggot and retard kind of get, like, grouped into that. Like, if you need that as a crutch, then you're not working hard enough at your art.
So what happens, though, if topic being censored isn't something that's the lowest common denominator? What if it's something...
Or something more intellectual? The only thing that I've seen, like, some pushback from over the recent, like, maybe last year, is the transgender thing. The transgender community and this new wave of feminism, which I'm struggling, I'm definitely trying to understand. I don't understand all the points of it, although the more I look into it, the more I understand. But there was a pushback on the transgender thing, and, you know, it's not something to joke about. These are people's struggles. Yeah, I get that. I don't know. But if you're coming to a comedy club, you're also coming to, like, the opposite of a safe place. You know, they have these safe places on campuses now where you're not going to be triggered. Well, if you can defend a safe space and you want that for your thoughts and ideas, then the opposite of that should also exist. I mean, that's just, it seems to make sense. And that's what a comedy club is. So if somebody gets something in a comedy club, come on.
Yeah, the politically correct garbage, that's just being manipulated by the globalists.
Oh, I think there's this term I've heard recently, which is recreational outrage. And it's just, I didn't hear it until I wish I came up with it, because I think it's brilliant. I mean, keep in mind, I think most divisive issues are set up in the media so that we just keep arguing with each other rather than uniting against anything that would actually do some good. But the recreational outrage, I went to see Diane Ward recently, this weird South African rap group, and I asked somebody to go. They said, oh, I'm not going to go. They did blackface in one of their videos. And, you know, they're white people. It's arguably not even blackface. In the same video, they're painted completely red, completely white, completely black. Like, not just blackface, completely head-to-toe black. So, I was like...
So that fits a different context.
It does fit a different context, and it's within art, okay? And, you know, if you take an icon, maybe not an icon, but definitely somebody who's involved in the feminist movement, Patti Smith had a song called Rock and Roll Nigger. Like, you can... Patti Smith. Yeah, Patti Smith has a song called Rock and Roll N-Word. I feel guilty saying that word twice. But you have to give liberties to art.
Yeah. And this is also interesting because Russell Brand, former comedian, still a comedian.
Yeah.
But he has been getting more political and spiritual over the last few years. Al Franken, a comedian, who's now a senator.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's so the comedians can actually become more political and actually become maybe the only coherent people out there with an in-depth analysis of what is plaguing our country, because they don't have as much censorship as opposed to somebody in the political system. So you got people like those guys that will not mince words. They will laugh at the absurdity of the whole political system. It's amazing what they can do, and with censorship, it will take down a major oppositional force, which I don't think is good.
Well, with the Diane Ward thing, it seems silly to me. And I go, so you're interpreting some piece of art as racist, and you don't... do you understand there's real racism in the world? Like, there's actual, in-your-face racism. Why would this be the thing that would be a focus, you know? And as far as the comedians out there who are going into the political arena, I think it's good. I think art is going to be, and always has been, a great uniter. I think that, like, especially comedy, because comedy just attacks social issues. That's one of its main focuses. And I think, like, you know, a lot of people, white people, white America was opened up to comedy through Richard Pryor and Bill Cosby. And probably, you know, maybe there was these, like, set of rules that white people looked at black people under. And they go, oh, this guy's kind of breaking the rules, and this guy's saying things that I agree with. And it introduced black culture into white America slowly. And then you have guys like Patrice O'Neill. Patrice O'Neill had the best take on race that's ever existed. I think he was better than Pryor in a lot of ways. Russell Brand, I don't trust him. He's sober. I don't know. You gotta worry about somebody you can't have a drink with, somebody who's got those self-control issues. But I like, for the most part, what he has to say. I was going somewhere with this. I lost my... and then hip-hop. If you look at art, another form of art, hip-hop, I think it's going to be a great uniter. And I think it has to be. I think art is doing the work that politics and the Bible and all this stuff can't do, because... You know, you're a young kid now, and you're listening to hip hop, and you go, "Oh, this is what it's like to live somebody else's life." They're not saying these things just because they rhyme well. They're telling a story about what it's like to grow up from a different perspective. And people need to get out of their perspective. And I think comedy and hip hop and art in general, good art, at least, try to do that.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Government should be afraid of their people.
Our government was responsible for the deaths of almost 100,000 people. You really want to know?
Party members have been murdered, Chief Inspector.
We're interrupting your regularly scheduled program to bring you this terrifying report.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Jane, what more can you tell us about the Salomon Brothers building and its collapse?
New York, very much a city still in chaos. The phones are not working properly. The subway lines are not working properly.
The sky now black with smoke in front of us. Just across the Tigris River here, this is shock and awe, Tom, for the population of Baghdad. Shock and awe, indeed.
The people you liberate will witness the honorable and decent spirit of the American military.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
Come on.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
I love my dad. I'd kill for him. I'd go to prison for him because I love him so much.
I love Bill Clinton.
What does that make Hillary Clinton to the Bush family?
My sister-in-law.
When you are subverting the power of government, that's a fundamentally dangerous thing to democracy.
What do you think of Edward Snowden?
I think he's a traitor.
Obama is the one that kills the U.S. troops if the Russians bomb any of them. Obama is the one that put them in harm's way. Obama is the one using them as human shields.
It is the most corrupt, degenerate, criminal government in American history.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
Welcome to America, ISIS. This is what we do. Woo!
We got people that have taken your asses out in this building right now. We're armed to the teeth, and we're not scared. You got that, you sons of bitches?
In 2012, your agency was saying, quote, the Salafists, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Al-Qaeda in Iraq are the major forces driving the insurgents in Syria. Mm-hmm. In 2012, the U.S. was helping coordinate arms transfers to those same groups. Why did you not stop that?
Why didn't you come forward before? What were you waiting for?
Well, for you, Inspector. I needed you.
I suddenly had this feeling that everything was connected. We're all part of it. Are we ready for it?
You're listening to Black Helicopter News. This is a special report.
I try not to... Let's put it this way. Whatever you take in part, you eventually emulate somewhere. And when you start pursuing an art form, whether it's painting, and you're like a Salvador Dali guy, and you're going to go and paint something, it's going to have his edges. It's going to have his, the way he like slurred onto the canvas, like it seemed like. So, and the same is probably true for music, certainly, but comedy especially. Like, if you take in something, it comes back out through you in a part. So I try not to do that. The comedy that I watch is, I watch when a female comic puts out a perspective, a special, rather, or when somebody who's just so far removed from my style puts out a special, I'll watch that, just because I don't want to take their perspective slightly. It's almost impossible not to.
Do you include comedy on your podcast?
Yeah, for the most part, I just talk to comedians and get drunk in the morning. After about midday, I start to get tired, but right there, like 2 hours, 3 hours after you wake up, man, my brain is really firing for conversation, and you add a little alcohol to that, and it always gets fun, you know?
Yeah, and hey, we got the ultimate morning alcoholic beverage known as the
Bloody Mary.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Although I had a Bellini recently, and I thought it was orange juice, champagne, and peach schnapps, but I'll tell you what, I was like, wow.
Those are good.
Yeah. Definitely. Brunch is where it's at. Mid-30s, brunch is where it's at.
Brunch is the ultimate chill meal, dude.
I think it is.
Since we were talking about censorship, and since it is Halloween.
Okay.
Censorship of people's Halloween costumes. Like of burning down Twin Towers, for example.
Yeah, no, that's funny, I think. You know, like, if you're going to be... I don't know. It's not fair. It's not fair the way art... I'm not even saying Halloween costumes are art, but I'm not saying it like... But if you take certain things, nobody rails against them. Forrest Gump was like a 2.5 hour long joke where nothing would have been funny if he was a normal person. So essentially, you get to laugh 2.5 hours at a retarded person. It's not... There's all these weird lines that get drawn in society. Yeah, I can see something being offensive. A Halloween costume. Cultural appropriation if you dress up like an Indian. I guess. I don't believe it.
Yeah, I guess. I think it's insipid.
I don't really think that there's too many Native Americans who are going to be like, that's offensive. I mean...
And, like, they want to change the name of the Redskins. There was almost censorship in the name, right, of that football team.
The Redskins thing? I don't watch sports.
Anymore. I don't either.
I was a sideline to that. I don't watch sports, and then I use a sports reference instantly. What an idiot. Yeah, I was kind of like on the, you know, I was watching that whole thing going on. I get it. I don't know if Redskin is exactly derogatory. Would it be the same if, like, the Fighting Irish was called the Mix? You know, isn't the Fighting Irish a negative stereotype to begin with? Like, isn't that they get fueled up on booze and fight? You know, couldn't you look at that too? You know,
I think you may have planted a seed for future recreational outrage.
Let's start it. I'm of Irish American descent, and that offends me. We do more than fight. You know, we're not a one trick pony. We grow potatoes and whatever else. I guess that's about it. Just potatoes and drinking, really. One more, then I think Brendan's going to come up. Do you think that sometime between the train and the death, the prisoners at Auschwitz just walked around high-fiving each other over their sweet abs? And somebody told me that was a dark joke and you shouldn't do it. I said, no, that's a joke about finding the best out of any situation. All right, thank you.